What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It's Tuesday, June 21st. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is Reopening America. Workers in the U.S. have a very strange relationship with working and not taking time off. After going through the pandemic, COVID may have done away with the sick day. Because of the pace of work or fears of getting in trouble, many people continued to log in for meetings and answered emails, despite many companies changing sick day policies to allow people more time to heal. Managers also weren't good role models as they took to working while sick. This is coming despite companies changing sick day policies to allow people more time to heal. Emma Goldberg, reporter at the New York Times, joins us for why employees can't seem to take a sick day. Thanks for joining us, Emma.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, let's talk about getting sick with COVID and then working through it anyways. It seems that here in this country, we have a real problem with nonstop work. And, you know, a lot of people obviously throughout the pandemic have had the opportunity to work from home, things like that. You know, you're always tethered to emails or whatever it could be. But a lot of people, instead of taking the sick days, taking the time to get better, we're still kind of trudging through it. And on all sides of it, right? Managers were doing it, setting bad examples for their other employees. It, you know, really kind of almost has done away with the taking a sick day. So, Emma, tell us what we're seeing out there with this.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, what you just said, there is a real sickness at the core of America's culture of sick leave. There's about 33 million Americans that don't have paid sick leave at all, and that's especially affecting low-income workers. That being said, even people who do have paid sick days often don't use them. And I think COVID has in some ways exacerbated that because so many people are working from home anyway. So it's pretty easy to wake up with a cough or aches or chills and just continue logging on, zooming into meetings, answering emails, and not taking the time to fully recover.
Yeah, you know, it's the pace of work. There's a lot of factors that go into it. Everybody else, if you're project-based, everybody else, is, the project always continues, right? And you're kind of left behind if you have to sit it out. So, you know, you feel that urge to, you know, I can jump on this meeting. I can do a couple of emails here and there. And it just kind of becomes this cycle where you just can't break out of it. I recently had COVID too, and I did the same thing. I worked a few days through it, and it was awful.
Yeah, I got to admit, the story came partly inspired. You know, I too had COVID and was working through it. And it is sort of a tempting thing to do when you're alone in an apartment and you do need something to fill the time. That being said, you know, I think it's important to highlight the expectations it creates when, for example, employees see their managers working through COVID.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the point. You spoke to a lot of people who were in that position saying, you know, they created these new structures for sick time and paid leave. Some companies were giving their people unlimited days, like just go home, rest and get better. But then when it came time for them to take that time off, they didn't do it. And, you know, they were on those emails. They were on those meetings. And, you know, as you mentioned, just kind of setting that bad example.
Exactly. You know, people really look to what their teammates are doing. They look to what their managers are doing. So I spoke with someone who said he recently got COVID. It was a really high pressure week of work, including a week in which a lot of his teammates had flown out for a retreat. And so he worked right through it. And now looking back, regrets it because he realizes it maybe didn't set the best example for his team.
And this is also coming at a time where, you know, we are kind of moving into this different phase of the pandemic. It's not lockdowns and, you know, all the strict rules anymore. And even companies that once had, or, you know, changed their sick leave programs, whatever it is, and even, you know, providing some more pay for their workers are changing all that stuff. Amazon, Walmart, they've all kind of gone back to some of their pre-pandemic models.
Exactly. I think it's a really interesting moment, especially as more workers are starting to return to the office, but in some cases on a hybrid basis. Like you said, some companies are dropping the special benefits they introduced during the pandemic. And at the same time, you're seeing a counter push where mental health is really on the agenda for a lot of workplaces. And companies are trying to figure out how to support people in taking the time off that they need. One thing you're seeing companies do is offer what they're calling mental health days or mental health weeks, where they shut down the entire company. So it's not like one person might be off, but still getting emails and meeting invitations from their colleagues. Everyone is really forced to log off.
That's pretty cool for, you know, so the companies that can do it and, you know, employees that can benefit from that. But obviously that's not the case everywhere. You know, just going back to my own example, I do the podcast, I do a bunch of other things, but we post every day pretty much for the podcast. And if I dropped out, then we wouldn't have anything. So, you know, I told my producer, I was like, I'll work through some interviews, I'll do some, but I was sweating at the end of those interviews. I was like, had to take a big deep breath at the end of it. I mean, is it just all in our minds that, well, you know, what do we need to do here in this country to get over that?
I think it's such an interlocking kind of range of challenges, and it, you know, the legal challenge of America being the only wealthy country that doesn't guarantee paid sick leave. It's, you know, the cultural norms that reinforces around working while you're sick. And then it's the example of people set for one another and see reflected in their bosses. So, you know, on every level, I think Americans really kind of valorize working even while people are unwell.
Yeah. And, you know, on the other side of it, too, does it really hinder how fast you get better? Right. I mean, you say, oh, it's a mild case, so I can still do this. But you're not truly resting. You know, you're not giving your body that time to heal. And does it prolong the illness? So, you know, a lot of people would say yes.
It's a big question that people are asking is the absence of paid sick leave actually making people sicker? I spoke with one woman who noted she, her husband, and her son all got COVID. Her son stayed home from school. Her husband took a little bit more time to rest, and she felt too guilty. So she just worked right through it. And she reflected that she feels she might have healed a little bit faster if she'd taken time to really sleep and let her body recuperate.
Yeah, you know, you said she felt guilty. I think a lot of people feel that way. And, you know, we have to break free from that and really do allow our bodies to heal and take that time. It's tough. It's tough in this culture that we have here in this country. But hopefully we can get that to be on better terms now. Emma Goldberg, reporter at The New York Times, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this has been Reopening America. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcast.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.